Okay, we are back to Can't Wait. And this is where we go with a little bit of nonsense. It's Mother's Day, and we thought that a great thing to talk about would be our favorite TV moms. And so we spent the week thinking about it, and finally we got here today before the show, and we talked about who were our favorite TV moms, and we all picked the same people. So we picked Joyce Summers from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Marge Simpson of The Simpsons. And so now I just want to warn you, if you're in season 3 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, please don't listen to our words anymore. It's now time to turn off Can't Wait. That's the only time we'll ever say that. But I don't want to spoil what's going to happen in Buffy the Vampire Slayer for anyone. And so without further ado, let us talk about, I think first, Marge Simpson is the way to go.
We don't have any Marge Simpson spoiler alerts out there, so
no.
You're still good to...
Season 29, right. You know what happens.
Yeah. Yikes, I haven't been watching, and now I think Marge is going to die. Yeah. So guys, what makes Marge Simpson a great mom on TV?
Well, I just, in the last couple of days... Finally downloaded the FX Now app that lets you watch all of the Simpsons episodes. So I just coincidentally have watched like 12 Simpsons episodes in the last couple of days, and a lot of old favorites as well. And then some new ones I hadn't seen before. But I think that the trait that Marge encapsulates more so than almost anyone else is that endless patience that a mother has.
Right.
And that, you know, but not a, she, her patience is, it's not a begrudging patience where it's
no.
like she's, her motherhood is a chore.
No. And she's not totally unflappable.
Oh, no, certainly not. But the fact remains that whatever shenanigans Bart or Homer get into, that she still has that, you know, pure love within her. And the patience and capacity for forgiveness to know that however badly they screwed up, that, you know, she can still give him a hug at the end of the day and that everything's going to be okay. And there, I think that it's one of the advantages of being a cartoon that you can obviously test the limits of patience a little bit more than you could if they were like live action. But nonetheless, I just think that... you know, Marge, to me, is the sort of patron saint of television mom patience.
Yeah, and I think that may be a bit indicative of our age and what we were growing up watching. Maybe, you know, we would picture Carol Brady as that if we were a little bit older. But, you know, Marge had, you know, the patience, but, and, you know, in a way, she embodies a lot of mom stereotypes, for better or worse.
Sure, but in a way that I think doesn't strike me as being like sexist or offensive or anything. Mm-hmm. I think it acknowledges that you know, she is probably the most important part of their family.
I
don't think that the show gives her sort of short shrift in allowing her to still have her own feelings and desires, and she doesn't just simply exist as a mechanism for cleaning up the mess of the men in the family. But nonetheless, I think, I guess one of the advantages of being on the air for like almost 3 decades is that you have the opportunity to explore plenty of depth of character for folks who have been around that long.
That's right. I think her warmth is something that makes Marge so likable, and she makes The Simpsons more likable with
True.
That warmth. You know, I mean, if it was just Lisa and Homer and Bart, the warmth is harder to find without mm-hmm. Marge. It really is. And she's so understanding, and she does. I mean, she forgives him immediately. As soon as an episode starts, she's ready to forgive Homer and take him to rock and roll band camp, even though he was totally drunk and crashed the car and,
right.
you know, made a huge mess in their closet.
Right.
She's ready to forgive that right away. And off Homer goes to be a rock star, you know. And I love that about The Simpsons. She's a bit of a cliche in that it's a typical sitcom mom who does put up with a lot. I think Huxtable. Claire Huxtable is another one of the, if you were a little older, you guys probably might look at Claire Huxtable as somebody who was very warm and understanding. It was completely unrealistic. She was a doctor and home all the time. That never happens. but she was warm and a little bit like Marge. She might have even been a bit of a prototype for Marge in some ways, and just her understanding ways of all of her kids' idiosyncrasies. Well, so with that said, I think it's time for us to move on in who would have been my choice. If I had to choose one and go down to one, it's Joyce Summers. And it's a testament to me to Joss Whedon and his ability to create characters and storylines that she's so brilliant.
Right.
In the first two seasons, and then I'll ask you guys to talk about it a little bit. In the first two seasons, she comes off as clueless a little bit. Not even a little, right?
She's not aware of Buffy's prowess until the end of the second.
Ignores it. And if that's all you saw was those two seasons, you'd think, well, this is a clueless mom. But instead, Joss Whedon was showing us how a junior or a senior in high school, those two seasons are Buffy's junior and senior year, a parent at that point, and I'm the only parent in the room, and I'm a parent of a six-year-old, not a junior in high school.
Sure.
But a parent at that point has to put on blinders. Mm. Your child now all at once is going to prom, is going to drive the car, is staying out later, is doing stuff in their room that you need to give them privacy to do. And so you put on, as much as you're involved, you also have to be uninvolved and let them, you know, it's a constant tightrope. It's a narrowing tightrope as you go, as you get closer and closer to the end of high school that parents have to walk, that Joyce, in retrospect, once you watch seasons 3 through 5, you realize she wasn't clueless.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, go ahead, Tim.
Well, I was going to say, you know, it is interesting in that, you know, it's not just staying out late with Buffy. Of course, it's staying out late to slay demons. You know? But what I love about her character, and I think it touches on a larger topic of what makes the show brilliant, in that what Joyce is able to do is show us the path of sort of an understanding and an evolving mom, you know, a mom who copes with their daughter's adolescence and the changes and the difficulties in a way where she manages to adapt and change with it. And I think that just like with the rest of Buffy, we see a show where we're looking at these supernatural occurrences, but we're really viewing them in ways that parallel real life events and in a way that feels natural and comfortable. And I think that her motherhood is like that. You know, for Joyce, she's coping to deal with the fact that her daughter is staying out late to slay demons. But you can really take it to any sort of mother coping with any other aspect of their teenager's life. It feels really familiar.
Yeah, and you know, with Buffy, and this isn't groundbreaking stuff. I mean, Joss has come out and talked about this openly, but you know, part of what makes the setting of the first couple of seasons so brilliant is that high school feels like hell to a lot of people, whether or not their high school is located over a hellmouth. So, you know, even though there's a fantastical element to having them like literally battling demons, the part of the reason that the show rings so true for people of different ages and demographics is that there is that kind of universal experience of how challenging it is at that particular part of your life as you're discovering who you are and who you want to surround yourself with and who you want to become and how to, you know, how you deal with adversity and all of the social pressures that come along with it. So whether or not, you know, you're worrying about running with a werewolf pack or, you know, worrying about something that's more mundane, you know, I do think that a lot of the anxieties that the show taps into are things that that are quite relatable. And I think that what's great about Joyce is that she, as a single parent, who for most of the show's run has one daughter, the relationship that they have is not one that is marked by absence or deficiency or anything like that. Like, I don't feel in watching the show like Buffy's central problem, even though she has issues with her dad. I don't think that the show makes a point of trying to suggest that Buffy would have better coping skills if only her parents were still together. Or, you know, if only Joyce had been able to bring, like, a masculine presence into her life, she'd have a better sense of, you know, order, or she'd listen to Giles more or whatever. It doesn't make that argument. And I think that it demonstrates quite clearly that, you know, being a parent is always challenging. Being a single parent is challenging. Building any relationship with a teenager is challenging. But it doesn't mean that that there's some sort of deficiency in the result because of that relationship. And I think that they have a remarkable one-on-one relationship that grows as Buffy turns into an adult. And, you know, as most parent-child relationships change, what's great about that relationship is it does morph more into a relationship among, you know, almost sort of peers or equals or people who relate to each other as adults rather than just, you know, a mother and a daughter.
Well, absolutely. I love that. I love that she's such a strong woman. We don't really she has a fling with Giles at one point during an Impetuous episode where all the adults turn into 16-year-olds.
Yeah, that's a great episode.
It is a great episode. And then also later on she has a boyfriend, I think, towards the end of in season 5 she has a boyfriend briefly, right? Mm-hmm. But she does stand on her own and doesn't need anybody else. She's not a deficient mother. And what we see in those first two episodes or those first two seasons, we see Buffy asserting herself. We see that Buffy all at once now is physically stronger than her mother. Mm. And her mother is making mistakes. When Dawn comes into the picture, Dawn all at once, the mom is again, because of her brain tumor, she can see that Dawn is the key and is super special and must be protected at all costs. That's how a 12-year-old sees their mom, right? Is this super protector and knower of all. Well, when you're a teenager, a junior, and a senior in high school, your mom isn't perfect. And mom kicks Buffy out, offers an ultimatum that she later says she wasn't the right thing to do, and it wasn't. And it shows just how real we teenagers or teenagers see. I'm not a teenager, but I was. And, sure. And how we saw our parents, you know?
Sure.
How we see them. All at once, we are physically stronger or faster than them, you know, or there are a lot of things that are changing, and mentally we're aware and we know what's going on. And we realize our parents make mistakes, and I think that just all the way around just makes her one of the all-time great television characters in general. But
yeah, and I think part of what amazes me about her character, and it touches a bit on what Matt is saying, is that I think for Joss, Joyce is one of his biggest instruments for teaching us lessons in the show. Mm. Whether it be in life or especially in her death, I think some of the biggest things that Joss wanted to say with her character, he did via the way that he handled her death. It's hard to talk about Joyce and not talk about her death because it is one of the most pivotal moments in the show, both from a plot standpoint and really from a critical standpoint as well. The body, it's hard to make an argument that that's not, you know, the best, if not or one of the best episodes of the show.
Yeah, and the way that her death impacts all of the other characters, I think it ends up being, you know, a really effective lens, both of being able to measure her own impact, but I also think that what's so powerful about that is that for many of us, you know, the death of a parent is, you know, maybe one of the first really, you know, shattering and sort of fundamental experiences that we have with death. Now, that's not always true, but whether it's the first or your fifth or your tenth, I mean, it's always a you know, a really major shift in your life. And in that show, for a show that where death is always in the foreground, and characters are dying all the time, and you have undead characters and all of that, you have, you know, immortal characters, to have all of the characters have to cope with mortality through the lens of her death, through the death of maybe the most human,
natural mortality.
Yeah, so. Yeah, the most human character dying in the most mundane way, I think, forces both the viewers and the characters to understand the stakes of death in a way that can get lost sometimes on a show where, you know, 12 vampires get staked in, you know, any given episode, and random high schoolers are dying each week and that kind of thing.
It speaks to, again, Joss Whedon's ability to draw characters and to make this show. I mean, there are so many episodes, but I think The Body, that episode in particular, is one of the best episodes of television I've ever seen. There are others. The Once More with Feeling, where everybody has to sing everything, and then the Silence episode. Those are really great. Hush, he does more character development with Silence than most TV shows ever know how to do.
Yeah. Part of that is that he was developing some pretty lousy characters at that point. But and that's not my favorite.
You're not
season.
A Riley.
I'm not a Riley fan.
Is that season six?
Four.
Just four.
Oh, four. Yes. No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, lousy stuff. But a great episode.
Yeah, I know it is a great episode. Very fun. And you're right. Riley's not the best of characters. But I still think that what he's doing with it and what we see with Joyce is just wonderful work. And it's easy for us to, we alone on our own came up with Joyce Summers as our favorite television mom. And I think it speaks to this generation a little bit, and what's going on with Joss Whedon is at the top of the game. There are very few people who are where he is right now. And he started, well, didn't start with this, but certainly Buffy the Vampire Slayer is where he began. And I do think The Body is, as an audience, we fully recognize how important she was, right? And I think that's in the couple subsequent episodes afterwards, because it's easy to overlook Joyce at first, and I think she really develops. And maybe it was accidental, because I've read that Joss Whedon says that he was going to kill her off in season three.
Oh, interesting.
I've read that before as well.
Was he going to have Angelus kill her, or what was
I don't
the...
know. I think it was cancer. I think it was going to be cancer.
Oh, it was always going to be, okay.
Yeah, and I think it was because the actor was moving off to Italy.
Oh. And I think he always wanted it to reflect somewhat closely his own mother's death.
Oh, got it.
I see. I didn't know that. I didn't know that part.
Yeah, and I think obviously the way that Buffy finds out, and you know, at the end of the episode before The Body, leading into The Body, the way that it's shot with the no cuts, the no real music, they're just kind of sounds and static noise, is to me one of the most intense and real depictions of sort of the isolation of coping with death that's ever taken the screen. And so I think
yes.
He was kind of putting his own experience with that out there. And by having Joyce reflect his own experience, he was able to create the most real death experience I've ever witnessed.
There are brilliant moments in the episode. I love when Willow is just trying to find a shirt and can't. Mm-hmm. Why is my clothing so stupid? It feels so real, that episode, at those moments, right? It kills me.
Yeah.
And I would just say that, Joyce's death leaves Buffy to then care for Dawn. And ultimately, Buffy says that being a mom is harder than being the vampire slayer.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I think we can all say we love our moms, and it's
happy
the hardest
Mother's
job
Day.
In the world. And happy Mother's Day from Can't Wait. And we look forward to seeing Nick back next week.